Francis Chan begins his book, Erasing Hell, in this manner. He says, if you're excited to read this book, then you have issues. And as I began a sermon series on the subject of hell, if you're excited to hear me preach on this, you might have issues. Hell is not a subject that we like to talk about. C.S. Lewis said that if there was one doctrine that he could remove from the Christian faith, one above any others, it would be this one. Hell is a topic that is frightening, scary, and strange. Oftentimes when it is discussed, it's discussed in a very controlling, manipulating sort of way. To the outsider, hell seems to be unloving, mean, and even hateful. And so you might be wondering, Steve, why are we spending a whole month on this topic? Before I launch into my lesson, maybe I should spend a moment trying to answer that question. I compare this series to kind of like going to the doctor and getting a shot. Now, there's hardly anybody that I know that likes getting a shot. Maybe you like getting a shot. If you do, you're a little strange. But there's been no one who's come up to me and said, hey, Steve, I had a great day today. Guess what? I went to the doctor and got a shot. It was awesome. Shots are painful. They hurt. A needle is stuck into your body and things are put into your body and it feels weird and we don't like that. And yet, we continue to do it. In fact, we take our kids there. We take our babies to the doctor and say, shoot them up. Give them a shot. Why do we do that? If we know it's going to be painful, why do we go through with it? And the reason is because we understand that that shot is going to have an impact down the road, that it's going to prevent this person from getting a disease down the road, a very terrible disease possibly. Or if someone is sick, that shot might help that person get well by giving them medicine quickly. And so even though we know it's painful and it hurts a little bit, we still do it because we know over the long term it's necessary for our physical health. And I kind of feel the same way about this series. I don't expect this month to be the most uplifting worship services that you've ever experienced. I don't expect streams of people to come up to me after my sermons and say, see, that I really liked that sermon. I mean, that was really good. I don't expect that. I know that this is not going to be easy to talk about, that it's going to be painful, it's going to raise questions, it's going to raise emotions. So why are we doing it? Because I understand and believe that this topic can be helpful to us. It can be helpful to us down the road as we deal maybe with certain spiritual issues or questions to have already talked about this. For some of us, maybe we're going through some spiritual things right now where talking about hell is really going to help you. So while we might not like discussing this topic, maybe it's not very uplifting, I do think it is necessary for our spiritual health. And I think it's necessary, particularly right now, for two key reasons. Number one, over the past several months and even a couple years, there has been some rethinking going on in religious circles about the topic of hell. Maybe the most popular person who's done some rethinking is a guy named Rob Bell. Rob Bell is an evangelical preacher. He's well known because he's written several books and he's produced Pneuma videos. We've shown some of those videos here at our church and our youth ministry and other Bible classes. And they're very good. And they're very helpful. Well, last year, Rob Bell came out with a book called Love Wins, a book about heaven, hell, and the fate of every person who ever lived. And as he begins the book, he makes this statement. He says, a staggering number of people have been taught that a select few Christians will spend forever in a peaceful, joyous place called heaven, while the rest of humanity spends forever in torment and punishment in hell with no chance of anything better. It's been clearly communicated to many that this belief is a central truth of the Christian faith, and to reject it is, in essence, to reject Jesus. This is misguided and toxic and ultimately subverts the contagious spread of Jesus' message of love, peace, forgiveness, and joy that our world desperately needs to hear. That's a pretty bold statement. And launching from that statement, he offers within the book a very different picture of heaven and hell than what many of us have been traditionally taught. And when that book came out, it created a lot of controversy. In fact, if you come back tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that controversy. Several books were written in response to that book. Several articles were written in different magazines. And I think this is just one example of people today starting to rethink things. And rethinking is not a bad thing. I'm all for rethinking. It drives us back to God's Word and makes sure that what we believe is really true and really what God said. But I think for this reason, I think it's helpful right now to spend some time opening God's Word and saying, what does God's Word say about the subject of hell? And how should we understand this? A second reason why I think talking about this subject is necessary for our spiritual health is maybe more of a personal and emotional reason. I know that particularly for the younger people here, the postmoderns among us, this doctrine is very troubling. And it's very hard to swallow. In the book American Grace that a group of us kind of reviewed on in a Wednesday night class this past quarter, in their studies and surveys about religion in America, they found that almost 90% of Christians under 35 believe that non-Christians can go to heaven. Now, I think that, again, speaks to the rethinking going on about hell. But I think it also speaks to the fact that young people, people under 35 in the audience, they struggle with the idea of people, lots of people, going to spend eternity in hell. They don't like that idea. Let me give you a quick example. I have a friend who grew up in the church, went to college, was involved in campus ministry in college, went into graduate school, and his plan was to go to graduate school, really to study a field in which he could live out his faith in Jesus. But then some things happened. Doubt started to creep into his mind, and recently, within the past several months, he told me that he has renounced his faith in Christ. And when I found that out, immediately I contacted him and said, hey, can we go to lunch? I want to talk to you about this. And so we went to lunch, and over a meal, I asked him this question. I said, what is the barrier or the barriers that are keeping you from putting your faith in Jesus or keeping your faith in Jesus? And this is what he said. He said, it's hell. It's hell. He said it all started when he was about 14 years of age, and he read a book in English class, The Hiding Place. You've probably read it. And as he read this book that talked about Jews who were being oppressed in that day and time, he came to the realization that if I understand my faith correctly, then these people, these Jews, because they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to hell. And he didn't like that thought. He didn't like that idea. And that little seed of doubt stayed in the back of his head. And as he got older and older, it grew and grew until finally he made a decision. If that's who God is, a God who separates people into saved and unsaved and says this group can go to heaven, this group can go to hell, I don't want to follow a God like that. I don't want to serve a God like that. And I have a feeling that he's not the only one who has those kinds of questions. That there are some of us here today, maybe we've never said them to anyone, but in the back of our mind, we wonder, why would God, who is so full of love and goodness and mercy, allow many people to spend eternity in hell? Why would God even create such a place? And besides, why would God allow a finite time, the time we're here on earth, to determine where we're going to spend an infinite time, eternity? It doesn't make sense. And these questions come to our mind, particularly for those that are younger, and we wrestle with them. And I think here at church should be a place where we can voice those questions. And we can be open and honest about them and talk about them in a helpful way. And let me just add one quick footnote to that. Those of you that are more, how should I say it, mature than me, older, okay? You probably grew up hearing several sermons about hell. But when you heard those sermons, they were more from a controlling, manipulating kind of, I want to scare you so you'll come down the aisle sort of way. And the church realized, you know, maybe that's not the way we should talk about the subject. because it just brings fear into people's lives, and that's not to be the primary motivator for following Jesus. And so what the church has done is just stopped talking about it. So here I am, I'm in my 30s, and I don't really remember hearing a sermon on hell ever. Just didn't hear the church talk about it. And I think that's not good. I think we, as the body of Christ, need to talk about this subject, even though it's difficult, and be open and honest, not from a manipulating or a controlling sort of way, but from an honest sort of way. Let's see what the Bible says about this. Let's be honest with what God and what Jesus speaks about the subject, and let's let it change our lives. If we want to be shaped by Scripture, which is our theme for the year, a part of that means listening to what Scripture says about this topic. And so that's what I hope will happen through this whole month. As I was preparing for this series, I wanted to understand where people are in their understanding of hell. And so I got with Jennifer Atkins, and we went downtown last week and spent a little time interviewing random people on the street, asking them different questions about hell. Now, what I wish she had videoed is me trying to get people to answer questions about hell. It's always scary when a preacher comes up to you and says, "Can I talk to you about hell?" But we did find a few willing participants who were willing to answer the five questions that I asked them. And throughout this series, I'm going to show you different clips of the different answers that they gave. But I want to start with the first clip this morning, because it's the first and foundational question that we're looking at this morning. And that is there really a hell? Does hell exist? And I want you to see what the people say. Now, I need to tell you quickly that there was one good gentleman who, in answering the question, kind of said an off-color comment, so we had to kind of edit that out. Okay, so just bear with me on that.
Do you believe there's a hell?
Yep. Yes, I do.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
He said heaven and hell is where you live your life on earth, but there's a heaven, so I'm guessing there's a hell.
According to the surveys that I have seen, 70% of Americans believe there is actually a hell. Now, that's not as high as how many people believe there's a heaven, but that's still pretty high. And according to my quick little interview research, that kind of bore out. Everybody that we asked those questions to answered, yes, I do believe there is a hell. As I was starting my preparation for this series, I wanted to be honest about it. And so the first thing that I did was I got all of the passages that talk about hell in the New Testament and all those that are related to it, and I just decided, before I read anything else, I'm just going to sit down, open up God's Word, and read all of these passages. Notice their context and just read the words of Jesus and the words of Paul and Peter and the others that talk about hell, and just let those words soak into my soul. And as I read all those different passages, the word hell is used 12 times in the New Testament, 11 of those at the lips of Jesus. And as I read about Peter and Paul and what they say about eternal punishment, it was very obvious to me that if you're going to read the New Testament and if you're going to be honest with the New Testament, it says there's a hell. Now, you can try to explain it away and say, well, those words really weren't Jesus's, or you can say those words really weren't Paul's, but if you're going to take the Bible at face value, it says, it's all over the New Testament, there is a place called hell. There are some things in Scripture that are not very clear, and I would admit that. But it seems that this really isn't one of them. And I think that reality does something to us. And I think a great example of this is found in Matthew chapter 10. I want you to open your Bibles and look at Matthew 10, a key passage where Jesus mentions the reality of hell. Matthew 10, verses 26 through 31. I want to give you a little context before we read this passage. Matthew 10 is about Jesus sending out his disciples on what we sometimes refer to as the limited commission, which means he sent his disciples out two by two to go to different cities in the nation of Israel and to kind of prepare the way for Jesus. They were to announce the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that God's reign is breaking into the world through the coming of Jesus. And they were to heal the sick, they were to cleanse the leper, they were to raise the dead. And Jesus knows that as these disciples go out on this limited commission, they're going to face adversity. He says, you're going to be arrested. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be persecuted. Your own families are going to be split apart. People are going to hate you. He says, they hated me. The world hated me. So if you're going to be my follower, then they're going to hate you as well. And that's not just true for those disciples in Matthew 10. I think that's true for everyone. That if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to deal with some adversity. And so Jesus speaks some words to the disciples to try to help them in knowing how to handle the adversity they're going to experience. And what does he say? Look at verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. He points down the road and says, there's going to be a day of judgment. There's going to be a day where everything that was done publicly and privately is going to be brought out and made known. And so if you get arrested in secret, don't worry about it, because down the road at judgment day, everyone will know. God will know. If you get mistreated by someone and no one seems to know about it, don't worry about it, because at some point there's going to be a judgment day and everything's going to be made right. Everything's going to be dealt with. And then he says one other thing. If we keep going in verse 28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He offers a comparison, contrast, I guess, really, between what is temporary or what is here and now and what is eternal or what is to come. And he says, yeah, there are some people out there who they can hurt your physical body. They can hurt you here and now. But you need to be aware that there's also a possibility that you can be hurt or harmed or destroyed in what is to come. That your body and your soul can be destroyed in hell. That there is a reality here that Jesus is trying to bring out to his disciples. And that reality is that yes, there is a possibility that your body and soul could be destroyed in hell. He's trying to bring that out to them. And the reason why he's bringing that out is to help them understand what is at stake. That as they go out on this mission, it's not just about the here and now. It is about the here and now, but it's not just about the here and now. It's also about what is to come. There are eternal implications on what these disciples are getting ready to do. And so as they go out, don't just focus on the short term. Don't just focus on the temporary, Jesus says. Focus on the long term. Focus on the eternal. Because it is a reality that your body and soul could be destroyed in hell. And Jesus believes that if they understand that reality, that eternal reality, it will influence them in the here and the now. That reality will give them the courage to stand for the Lord when they face adversity. It will give them the perseverance to keep going even when they don't want to. It will give them the endurance to keep living for Jesus even when they'd rather give up. It will help them to speak the message because they understand the eternal stakes that are involved in doing this mission and in engaging what God has called them to do. This past summer, I was privileged to perform the wedding for Brady and Genesis Bridges, who are part of our Grace class here at Southside. And their wedding was right at the end of our week at Camp Blue Haven. And I And so in order to get back for the wedding, I had to catch a plane at Santa Fe, New Mexico, back to Dallas-Fort Worth so I could be here. I was going to miss the rehearsal, but I thought I could make it in time for the rehearsal dinner, and then, of course, I would be here for the next day for the wedding. And I wanted to stay at camp as long as I could, and I had calculated about how long it took to get from camp to the airport, and I miscalculated. I was about 30 minutes off, and I get to the airport, and it's about 15 minutes before my flight is supposed to leave. And so I jump out of the car, and I run into the airport, and this airport was just a small podunk airport. I mean, it just had one gate, and you walk in, it had just a little security area, and then you walked right out to the plane, and there's the plane. I can see the plane. It's right there. It's waiting on me. It's got my name on it. So I'm going, I run inside, and I yell to the security guard, "I need to get on that plane." And security guard casually meanders over to the airline attendant, and they chat a little bit, and he casually comes back, and he says, "Sorry, you cannot do that." I said, I've got my boarding pass. I checked in remotely. I got my boarding pass. I'm not checking any bags. I need to get on that plane. So he casually walks back to the airline attendant. They chat a little bit, casually walk back. He says, "Sorry, you cannot do that." Finally, I said, "Listen, I'm a preacher, and I've got to go home and do a wedding. I need to be on that plane." And finally, the airline attendant comes over, and she says, "Sir, I'm sorry, but we have closed the door of the plane, and when we close that door, we do not open it. You cannot get on that plane. I'm sorry. Please step over here." Now, there were a lot of emotions running through my body at that moment in time, but I want you to know that I held it together fairly well. In fact, I asked her later, I said, "How'd I do?" She said, "Pretty good. Did pretty good." And everything worked out. I got on the next flight and got back and did the wedding the next day. Everything was fine. But I learned a lesson that day. A lesson I needed to learn. Maybe you need to learn the lesson. Are you ready for the lesson? Here's a lesson I learned. If you get to the airport late, there is a reality that you will miss your flight. And that reality has changed me. When I go and fly on the next plane, I'm going to be there hours early, believe me. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. There's a reality. And that is that your soul and body can be destroyed in hell. That the door will close and it will never open. That's a reality. And let that reality change you. Let that reality shape you. Let that reality cause you to live differently. Let it give you boldness to live out God's mission. Let that reality give you the courage to shine for Jesus. Because sometimes we forget that reality, don't we? And this is the tragedy of not talking about hell. We forget about the reality. And we show up to the airport late and we miss the flight. Hell is not a fabrication, folks. I wish I could tell you it was. It's not some made-up idea by preachers and churches just to get more responses. It's not some cruel joke. It's not some kind of idea, kind of like when the teacher says, "Now, if you misbehave one more time, you're not going to go out to recess," and we all know she's just kidding. It's not that way, folks. Jesus is telling his disciples, hell's real. This is a reality. That your soul and your body can be destroyed in hell. Your friends and your neighbors and all those you know, they can be destroyed in hell. That is a reality. And so let that reality shape who you are here and now. And for some of us here this morning, that should hit us between the eyes. Because we know that if hell is real, we're in trouble. Because we have not been living according to God's plan and according to God's desires. We haven't let his scripture shape us. And so maybe this morning you need to walk over to one of the elders that's going to be surrounding our building and just say, "Pray for me because I don't want to miss my flight. I want to make sure I'm right with God, that I'm living for him." Maybe some of us, what we need to do is make that decision to follow Jesus, to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ and to commit our lives to the Lord And maybe you've been thinking about it, wrestling with it. And this morning you realize there's a reality out there. And that reality should impact me, and it starts by me making that decision to be baptized. We're here to help you in any way we can, to obey and to follow the words of Jesus. And if we can help you, please come as together we stand and sing.